Tanya for the 17th of Shvat is at the beginning of Perek Chof Hei, chapter 25. It's on Daf Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph. The number at the bottom of the page is 106. Perek Chof Hei. Zehu Shekosuv, and this is what is written. Ki kol rivelecha hadovar me'ed, etc. That it is very close to you to serve God, even with the heart, because every Jew has this inborn love that motivates him not only to give his life rather than bow to an idol, but it also inspires every mitzvah and the refusal to commit any sin. Shebchol esu b'chol shoh, at any time and at any moment. B'yod eshal adam u'b'rishusehu, it is within a person's reach, within his permission, he has the freedom, to remove the insanity and the forgetfulness from within him, to remember and arouse his love for God who is one, to the oneness of God, this love which is concealed in his heart is certainly there without any doubt. One can never doubt that the love is there, because it is an inheritance to every Jew. All that needs to be done is that the forgetfulness or the carelessness should be removed, and attention should be paid to that love, and thereby it is remembered and aroused and motivates the person's behavior to do mitzvahs and avoid sin. And that's why it says that it is close to you in your mouth and in your heart, and it includes also fear. We say that every Jew has an inborn love of God, and that is the emotion of the heart with which one serves God. There is also the second emotion, fear. Because without both, if you don't have both love and fear, then the mitzvah is not a true service of God. The mitzvah doesn't rise like a bird with one wing or a bird with no wings. Dehainu, so what is this fear that is inborn in every Jew? The refusal to be severed from God's oneness, afilu b'mesiras nefesh mamosh, even to the point of giving up one's life. Without any logic, without any reason behind it at all. Ella b'teva eliki, rather by the godly nature of the Jew. Unlike the mesiras nefesh of a non-Jew, that has to have a human basis, it has to be motivated by some human consideration, the Jew, by virtue of the godly soul, his mesiras nefesh comes by the nature of his godliness and not by his human considerations. Kol shkein b'shviras ha-tayves ha-kala mi-yisurei mi-shakarit eilof ha-dover yeser l'chbish ha-yeter, and certainly denying oneself a passion, which is much easier than death, this certainly is close to the person. L'chbish ha-yeter, to overcome this yeter hada, hein b'bechin asur mezah, both in refusing to sin, afilu me'aveira kala shel divrei sefrim, even a slight sin that is a rabbinic prohibition, because he refuses to violate God's will, and since God doesn't want him to do it, then it doesn't matter whether it's a big sin or a little sin. God despises both the big and the little sin equally, and the person is motivated and committed to abiding by God's will, and therefore to him there is very little difference. There is no difference between the bigger sin and the little sin. Because in committing any sin, he is severing himself from God's oneness in the same way that one severs himself from God in idolatry. And if a person were to say that the reason I'm committing this sin even though I don't want to be separated from God and my nature doesn't allow me to be separated from God, is because if after I commit the sin, I will do tshuva. So I'm not really separating myself, because there's always the possibility of tshuva. I remain connected on some level, and because of that, I'm able to reconnect through tshuva. But that also is not rational, not logical, because in Aveda Zara you can also do tshuva. A person can do tshuva for Aveda Zara too. And yet, that doesn't permit the Jew to actually bow to the idol, even though he doesn't really believe in the idol, and it's only an empty act of Aveda Zara. And even for that, he can do tshuva afterwards, and yet he refuses to bow. So the same must be true for other sins if he would realize that all the sins are equal in their denial of God's oneness. And although the person who says, I will sin and then do tshuva, he is not given an opportunity to do tshuva, this doesn't mean that there is no tshuva for any sin. Even when a person says, I will sin and then do tshuva. And the reasoning behind that is that if the person wouldn't sin, were it not for the possibility of doing tshuva, that means that the tshuva itself is contributing to the sin. When the tshuva is contributing to the sin, it can't at the same time also remove one from sin. It can't go both ways. So if a person says, I will sin now because I'm relying on tshuva to fix things for me later, then the tshuva doesn't help. But it doesn't mean that you can't do tshuva. Ein maspikim, hainu she'ein machzikim yodei li yesh lei sha'as hakeisha las is tshuva. He is not helped from above to find the right time and the auspicious moment in which to do tshuva. But im dohak hashov also tshuva, but if he is insistent and he insists on doing tshuva, then ein loch davar she'emet b'fnei ha'tshuva. Then there is nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. For every sin, even if he sinned relying on the tshuva, even then he can, with great effort, do tshuva for that as well. The af al pikein kol ish Yisrael muchan u'mezuman limsin nafsho k'dushas Hashem shelo lishtachris l'aveda zara. And even though there is this possibility of tshuva, yet every Jew is willing and ready to give his life rather than bow to the idol, afilu lefisho v'las is tshuva achakach. Even temporarily, momentarily, he refuses to bow, even though he will do tshuva afterwards. And haynu mitnei eid Hashem hamalubish benafshem kenal. And this is because of the presence of godliness in their soul. She'einel b'chin hazman v'sho klal elamayla mihazman v'shalut u'meishol olav kenedah. Because this godliness that is clothed within their neshama is above time. It rules over time. And therefore to say that it's only for a moment is irrelevant to the godliness of the soul, even for the moment, to the godly soul, that's an eternity. So that even for the moment, where afterwards he will immediately do tshuva, even so he can't bring himself to bow to the idol and gives his life al kedushas Hashem. In the Hayem Yem for the 17th of Shvat, which is Shabbos Shira, the Rebbe writes that we stand during the reading of the Shira, and that the Haftarah is a Deveza Isha Neviya. It is also a minhag, the Rebbe writes, to eat black kasha on Shabbos Shira. Shabbos B'Shalach, in the year Tafresh Chof Aleph, the Tzemach Tzedek said a maime which began with the pasuk Zu'u Ki Hashem, and it is published in Lukut HaTeira. He then related to his son, my grandfather, means the Rebbe Marash, that in Shabbos B'Shalach, in the year Tof Kuf Samachei, the Alter Rebbe said this maime. And afterwards he called me, and he told me that in the year Tov Kuf Chof Tes, when he was in Mezrich, the Maggid called him into his room and he said to him as follows. On the Shabbos of B'Shalach, in the year Tov Kuf Tes Zayin, the Baal Shem Tov said a maimer on the Pasuk, Vayoshev Hayom Lifnei Zbeke L'Esonei. And as the Gemara says, Ve'esame, to its original strength, it means also litnoi, to its condition. In the year Tavkuf Chof Aleph, the year after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, the Baal Shem Tov came to me, the Maggid says, and he said the Maimer, and he added an explanation concerning the idea of Eisen Ritzene, and rather than Dvore. What does it mean that there are those who do God's will rather than do God's word? And today, my teacher came to me again to repeat the Maimer. And the Maggid said the Maimer for the Alter Rebbe, and added an explanation on the idea of Ginei Nora, that is the idea, the same idea as Kriyas Yamsuf. The Tzemach Tzedek concluded that today the Baal Shem Tov, the Maggid, and the Alter Rebbe came to me, and each of them said the Maimer in their own style. And after a few hours, the Tzemach Tzedek called the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe Marash, for a second time, and then set for him the explanation on the Maimer. The Tzemach Tzedek's own explanation.